CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Big John! Throw your hands in the air if you're a true leader. Big John! To the honeys getting money playing like dummies. Big John!
People power.
In your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be happy.
Future endeavors.
Baby.
It amuses me that the board of directors were the ones that turned off his swagger. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my sincerest apologies that I am here tonight at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. Again, I apologize that I was not here last week, and I will explain shortly. But first, let me introduce you around the table tonight. We are actually graced with our Chief High Muckamuck, Carl Chenier.
At least he didn't call him Big Poppy.
Eddie, we miss you, man. Opposite the table, a political sort, Mr. Jason Block.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and you better have a good explanation. I've heard things.
They're all lies.
You're a broadcast journalist.
Yes, and I am a broadcast journalist, yes.
Scary enough.
In a war court, no, kidding.
No, stop that. Although we also have our statistician here tonight, Josh Henniger.
You know, there's that word I'm thinking of. What is that word? Oh, yeah. Bullshit!
Oh, boy.
Oh, you mean this?
Bullshit!
Yeah.
And what, pray tell, are you calling bullshit upon?
You.
Me?
Nikki.
Me?
Yes, you.
Okay, fine. All right, you guys want to know what happened last week, apparently. Uncle Paul did not tell me that he was planning on representing Brock Lesnar. I had to find out for myself. I have been on the road for the last 13 days, catching up with Uncle Paul, trying to get a full explanation out of him, and seeing what his legal strategy is. First in the case of Lesnar's multi-million-dollar lawsuit, and now my dear Uncle Paul's lawsuit against Triple H for him putting his good hand on him. I cannot give you any further details, as I was paid a sizable sum of money to keep mum about the matter. I will also be receiving a percentage of the proceeds should my dear Uncle Paul win either suit.
In short, if you win either suit, the next words coming out of your mouth are, I'm rich, biatch!
No, the words will be, I'm out of Minnesota.
Yeah. See you later.
Essentially, enough of this. Goodbye. I'm going home.
Yeah, there you go.
So, with that out of the way, I will say that opening segment with my dear Uncle Paul and Triple H, all bias aside, was probably one of the highlights of this past Monday's Raw. This show wasn't exactly the best kind of thing to go home on, was it, Jason?
Not really, no. There was some... When Raws flow right, you could tell they flow right. In this particular case, there was no real flow to it. It was sort of stop and start, scattershot, you know, trying to do too much. You know what I mean?
Something like, of the... Go ahead, Steph.
It sounds like diarrhea.
You know what? It kind of felt like that. I mean, I don't mean it in that way. In the sense that, like, when the stuff was good, it was good. Like the Triple H Heyman segment.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was bad, like, say, Big Show John Laurinaitis, It was real bad. I wasn't as hateful on it as the rest of the internet was, but apparently everyone took a dump on that segment terribly.
Well, I will at least explain myself. In the case of Clown Shoes and Big Show, the segment probably did what it was supposed to do, make me hate Laurinaitis even more. But I hated the segment as a whole because I've been in Big Show's position. And if anybody wants to make a joke about me on my knees, you're off the show.
No, never.
Okay.
We're classy here, folks. We don't do that. Yeah,
no, not at all.
That's for other shows.
Yes.
Thus. But the fact that I have been in a position where I have been at a job, have done everything that I am supposed to do per the orders of my superiors, and they refuse to acknowledge it or just continue to rub my face into the mat. Very unnecessary. Very unnecessary. And I don't know, Carl, were you as frustrated by this segment as I was?
Pretty much after the Triple H and Paul Heyman segment, I was frustrated with everything else. That's how bad it was to me.
I don't know. The opening tag match I liked, but after that, the show, you could give or take. And they even ended it, unfortunately, on a pretty brown note. What the hell was Cena on? Was his painkillers getting to his head?
No, it's Paxil, Nikki. Get it right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Yes, folks, I went there. Yeah. And there's a good reason why. We'll get to that later.
Me?
Just the fact that John Cena channeling Jim Carrey was kind of off-putting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it yourself, Seth. Boy, do you think he was just trying too hard?
Yeah, it seems like the whole issue with him from last week kind of bled over this week. And let's just say this. This is probably the most annoying I've seen Cena in eons.
Exactly. This was like three steps backwards in the building of the Cena character.
Yeah.
Because honestly, they've done a lot to make him a likable guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Cena Rock build was very good in making Cena look like a decent guy. Okay.
Right.
And then after WrestleMania, you have Lesnar kill Cena a lot of times, and people were very happy. And then during Extreme Rules, you had Cena become Super Cena, but in a way that people actually liked, sort of, you know? And then all of a sudden now he becomes Poopy Cena? You know, it doesn't
poopy.
Really... But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This kind of felt like November 2002 Cena. You know, he just found his traction with the whole rapper angle, but he wasn't very good yet.
It didn't make any sense. Although, maybe he was just... No, he wasn't. He couldn't have been giddy because he didn't have the paper in his hands yet from Eve. He didn't know about the stip that Clown Shoes would get fired if he loses on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, it didn't make any sense, and it just seemed off.
Yeah, this whole situation he's dealing with in real life, I think, really put him off.
So, I'm kind of hoping that at some point the boy is going to actually take some time off and go get his stuff settled, because you keep saying it, Mr. Legal Eagle, Mr. Block.
Yes?
That the divorce is going to get ugly.
And I'm saying too.
No, multiple sources on multiple sites have quoted people on the inside have stating that there are two situations regarding this, that it's either going to go away quick or it's going to get ugly, and everyone is saying that the mud is going to get slung, okay? And if that happens, Mr. Super Cena is not going to have his image tarnished a little bit. And I don't think WWE wants that. Why do you think they had CM Punk in, by the way, a very nice suit, calling himself the Punk Rock James Bond, at the USA Upfront in New York yesterday? The brand.
I was unaware of this, and I would like to. I wouldn't mind seeing more pictures of CM Punk in a suit.
I will find that for you.
That was a full suit.
It was a full suit.
Nice.
Punk cleans up very nicely. He wore a suit when he was Ring of Honor champion.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. He did quite well. So.
But yeah, Jason, you're right. I think it's time for Cena to take a little bit of a break. You got people that can carry the company right now with Punk and Daniel Bryan and others.
The company can be carried by Punk, Bryan, Sheamus, Orton. Sadly, I will say Orton here.
Mm-hmm.
Del Rio needs to step up. Jericho needs to step up. And we've got a bunch of guys that are going to start filling up the mid-card. Which leads me to one little thing that Cena did this week that didn't have anything to do with the show or the pay-per-view. He bragged on Twitter that starting with episode 1000 or after episode 1000?
It starts starting.
Starting with episode 1000, Raw will permanently be a 3-hour event.
I got mixed emotions about that.
Uh-huh.
As do I, but I'm trying to remain optimistic. With all these people that they've brought in, they can start building a decent mid card. They'll actually have room for longer matches.
Mm-hmm.
They will actually have the space to pay attention to the B belts and the tag division and the women's division.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is we're worried that we're going to end up with an hour-long pre-show and more of the same. Or worse, longer promos, more backstage skits, and more, you know, moments ago, you know, just before the commercial recap kind of stuff.
Yeah, overblown. Yeah,
it gets tricky because... I was watching Nitro when it was 3 hours, and there were nights that it did drag. So I think we're all a little tentative about this idea.
Yes, but the question is, let me ask you this. Why make this decision? Why go 3 hours? Because I've never really understood the reason why.
You think maybe USA pushed them to do it?
Considering that NCIS is getting about a 1 to a 1.5 leading in, yeah, having another hour filled by a show that'll give them double the ratings makes sense.
Of course, I got my own theories on what USA needs to air or not to air, but that's not for this show, but anyway.
Right.
Right, exactly. But, I mean... There could be both positive and negatives here, you know. I mean, put it to you this way. For Raw to go 3 hours permanently, I mean, that's a ballsy move. It's a really ballsy move.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, though, what will it do? And it's going to take about 6 months before we actually see what's going on. It's going to take
the rest of the year, you think?
Yeah, because or do you think it's gonna, you know, is this gonna be an immediate right away sort of thing?
Well, it really depends on how these first couple of episodes go. Where I have a problem is that they're talking about making the shows much more interactive. They're actually thinking about making them like a Power to the People show every single week.
That's not a good idea.
No, that's not a good idea at all. We're going to have another Evan Bourne, Mason Ryan situation.
Yes.
Ooh.
And while I enjoyed Evan Bourne versus Mason Ryan in its own way. Oh, wait a minute. Not you guys wouldn't have enjoyed it that way either.
Speak for yourself, honey.
Don't mind if I do. It was a hell of a view. Anyway.
There you go.
There you go.
So that's what I'm worried about. Unless they've got the kinks worked out of their voter bot, this is going to turn into a great big disaster, because they're going to deal, first of all, the majority of the people that I think that are going to get involved in this are going to be a bunch of the is either going to be a run over by the IWC, or it's going to be a whole bunch of marks that are going to do nothing but vote for Cena and Kelly Kelly.
Yeah, you voting system using a Macintosh 2 computer.
It won't be pretty. It's not. That's the one. I think that is only going to last about a month, and they're just going to throw it away, because they're going to be like, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
This is not working. And if they keep trying to make it work, it's only going to get worse. But they seem to be not the only ones that are trying, that are playing with the formula, as TNA is trying to reinvent itself for the 5,000th time.
Same old shit, different day.
Yeah, exactly. But you want to know something, though? This move is actually, in my opinion, better than the Raw move. And I'll explain why. At the Spike TV upfronts, also in New York City this past Thursday, Spike stated that they are going to go a lot. The Summer of Impact, they're calling this, as of May 31st, which is a week from this coming Thursday, 2 weeks from this past Thursday, actually, they're going to go live from their new time slot, 8 to 10 p.m. through the summer.
And this is actually something that TNA needed to do a couple of years ago, just not head-to-head with Raw. I hope that TNA has learned something about production values as well, because the last time they did a live, if I remember correctly, the January 4th, 2010 live Impact head-to-head with the Brett reconciliation was nothing short of an utter disaster. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they've learned a little bit something about production. Hopefully they don't try to get cute. Hopefully they will try to at least showcase the guys that are actually there to work. Because I'm worried that that 2-hour show is going to open with a 20-minute Hogan segment.
Mm-hmm. Thank God I did not have to see him last week.
Actually, Carl, did you want to tell your TNA experience to us tonight?
I'll briefly talk about it since all of it's on the group. I'll do that later on.
Okay. So, but in the one step forward, two steps back department.
Yeah.
No. You may as well just cover your ears, Stat Boy, because I have to cover this.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I'll prepare my gun.
Prepare your anus.
Poopy.
Anyway.
There you go.
Face says, oh, God.
Okay.
Yes.
Alas, alack, face hoof, however you'd like to look at this. Somebody thought it would be a great idea, and I think I knew who that somebody was, to take Brooke Hogan and put her in charge of TNA's Knockout Division. And I think I have an answer for that. Easy there, kiddo.
I think we killed Josh.
No. We killed Josh again.
I swear, if we keep this up, he may stop coming to the show. But hey, TNA, this is your your Knockouts Division now.
I would say that would
have been better with the Ric Flair woo there.
Oh, don't get me started on Flair.
Oh, dear.
I'll bring that up later, too.
Yeah.
Because it led to something even worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I would say what I'm thinking, but this would turn this show into an adults-only show. I'm not going to do that.
Good grief. Wow.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. But
okay, that is under the what the fuck were they thinking sort of segment. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could be a smartass and say something about bringing legitimacy to the knockout division.
I love that. Yeah. Great. Great.
How do I put this? This is not just two steps back. This might as well set him back 50 years.
Well, I can. I think I've got your sentiments here, Josh.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
No, well, you know what? If Brooke Hogan gets killed by Tara, you know, that'll be fine. I don't know. But if put it to you this way, we could go. She will probably make Eve's acting look good.
Well, okay, then that begs the question, and you actually watch Jason, do you?
Yes, I did not see it last night, but I will be watching it when she comes on, yes.
I need to know, are they going to actually make her get in the ring and perform, or is she just going to be a mic stand?
Wow. I hope... I hope that she is just a mic stand. How's that? Because I do not want to have her in the ring at all. It would basically have, you know, the Fabulous Moolah and every other female wrestler in the history of professional wrestling who actually gave a damn roll over in their graves or in their locker rooms. Agreed?
Yeah. Agreed. Maybe that was the real reason China passed out.
Oh! Talk about adults only.
Yeah.
That I'm not. If any of our listeners need to know about that, you can go look that up on WrestleChat.net. That's as far as I go on that story.
Yes. Yeah. And how do I put this? If Brooke Hogan winds up in the ring, she's gonna make Lacey Von Erich look like Fritz Von Erich in comparison.
Wow.
I would have went with Mad Dog Vachon, but that's just me.
No, that's good. That's outstanding.
Oh, my goodness.
That's outstanding. Wow. Oh.
Now, let's see. I can't believe I'm talking this much about TNA. There is one other thing I needed to bring up. And, Jason, you're the one who mentioned it to me about the MMA guy.
Oh, yes. There is a guy by the name of King Mo Mohammed Lawal, who was introduced this week on TNA, who is going to actually be a Bo Jackson-like figure. As in, now, Bo Jackson, for those who don't know, participated in both
football and baseball.
Baseball. In his case, he is going to fight for both Bellator and TNA. I believe that is the correct feds.
Yeah, Bellator.
Bellator. The Bellator Fighting Championships and TNA, which takes some serious balls if you give that. And I believe our expert is chiming in.
Yeah, because currently he's under a drug suspension from MMA, mainly because after his last fight on January 7th of this year, he tested positive for a drug called Drostanolone. Yeah, Drostanolone, okay. Which is also known as Masteron, an anabolic steroid.
Oh, that's not good.
Which TNA doesn't really care, so they'll take
it. No, they don't.
If I'm not mistaken, he's got a year-long ban. His drug ban is up on January 7th, 2013. Perfectly in time for Bellator to debut on Spike.
There you go.
Gee, Josh, are you being cynical about this?
Josh, how do cynical? I put this?
Nah.
Roids! Okay. Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Well, since they really don't care about drug addicts, since they...
Yeah, because they...
You know, since they hire Kurt Angle and...
Jeff Hardy. I'm really looking forward to working
I would say
with
about
him.
The half of TNA is on some sort of painkillers. The other half, they're probably strongly thinking about it, and Dixie does not give one single solitary fuck about it.
That's because she's the one on the Paxil.
Yes.
There you go. Oh, gee. Wow. Okay.
So, with that as a segue, somebody unmute our Twitter expert. I think we need to go take a look. Let's see, where's the button? There's the button.
And now, the NAWC presents Scott Steiner Won't Shut the F*** Up.
Fat asses!
And it's not just Scott Steiner this week. This is Scott Steiner Won't Shut the Bleep Up. I am VRM. And although this week, Scott did shut up a little bit. But apparently it's because of something that Hogan put on his Twitter. Because apparently Hogan and Bischoff are taking Steiner's tweets a little too seriously.
What, just because we're in the land of the lawsuit?
Yeah. Because apparently Hogan and Bischoff have lawyered up and are threatening to go to the cops about Steiner's tweets. What they can charge him with, I don't know. Menacing?
Is it slander or libel?
Slander or libel, I forget which. Or defamation of character. The question is, though, if that's the case, then what's true and what isn't? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Personally, if this does turn into a court case, anybody remember Bash of the Beach 2000?
Oh, dear.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Vince Russo went to town on Hogan slandering him left and right.
They actually took this into court and it got thrown out because it was seen as an angle.
Okay.
And I'd actually like to see Steiner say, "I was working you guys."
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then libel gone.
Yeah. So anyway. After the announcement of the... Because I figured it was a pay-per-view week at TNA, so we'd probably see something the night of the pay-per-view. We didn't see anything until Tuesday night when Scott got on Twitter and said this. "Haven't tweeted lately because I got a letter from a lawyer representing Hogan and Bischoff basically saying they take my tweets seriously, and if threats continue, they will take to law enforcement. Really, Hogan? My tweets scare you. I've said worse in interviews on TV, lol. I want to thank you because your actions speak louder than any words I could have spoken. Sorry for scaring you. Maybe I'll challenge you to a game of checkers." And then we get to the story we just covered. Just when you didn't think it could get any worse in TNA, it has. And guys are pissed because Hogan has brought in his no-talent daughter. Fucking unbelievable. When I said guys were pissed, that's putting it mildly.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yes, well, like I said, he wasn't the only person who got on tweets, because I'm not even going to go touch the other tweet about from Steiner about Hogan, because it mentions the thing that nearly killed the entire room a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and Jason, by the way, this is why you haven't been on the show the last 3 weeks.
That one. Oh, okay, yeah.
Right.
That will not be mentioned. Go on.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, like I said, now I gotta find the link to it because I lost it. Yeah. So Steiner's not the only person who's ripping on TNA. Another ex-member of the NWO has joined the salvo, namely Mr. Sean Waltman.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
this ought to be good.
Yeah, so, and he directed his frustrations directly at Dixie. "Highly disappointed with you as a person who claims to care. More disappointed in your handling of the only alternative to WWE. Been meaning to tell you that since your company tried to make it look like I no-showed your pay-per-view," referring to 2010 lockdown. Sean goes on to say, they knew I wouldn't be there for over a week. They alluded that I no-showed because I was on a drug binge. They lied to the people. The thing is that it's easy to believe a story like that about me, which makes it even more of a low-life move. Some Twitter user came back and said that Waltman might still be employed if he wasn't quote-unquote a boozer and a fool. Waltman's response, Dixie had nothing to do with it. Plus, are you serious with the crew they have there? Plus, I am sober and never cared for booze. He finishes up the I am just sick of @DNADixie running around playing this benevolent role when it's a facade. By the way, congrats on hiring Bruce Pritchard. Perfect fit. One of the biggest lowlifes in the business. Treats people like shit if he can. Mark my words, TNA will be a part of WWE's video catalog before the decade is up.
Burn! Ow!
And all of a sudden, even I feel the heat off of your computer there, VRM.
Yeah.
Seriously, did we blow out your cooling fan again?
No. No! Now you touch my head's off. My head's on my what? Oh my god!
You all right?
Who's paying me for this crap?
And you want to get paid?
The NAWC general manager is. A shame he's only paying you in Tic Tacs.
Oh.
Gee, bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
my two cents in, by the way.
Have at it.
Waltman says end of the decade. I say 2015.
And a lot of us think it's going to happen even sooner than that. VRM, do not panic. Even if Scott Steiner does shut up, we're going to try to keep this segment rolling. If not for you, for the general manager's sake. How's that?
I need something to do on Friday night. I was supposed to go see the Avengers tonight. Fuck!
Well, let's see. Nope. Unless they got a midnight showing. I'm sorry, man.
It's all right.
All right. Go get your headset fixed. I think we're done with this part.
This has been Scott Steiner Won't Shut the F*** Up.
Crap. The GM heard me. Probably heard me.
May I have your attention, please? I have just received an email from the NAWC general manager on my Bally Astrocade.
Yeah, you son of a... Wow.
I didn't think that thing could...
Top, I also see here in the PS, top that, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Wow.
Oh, goodness. Let's see. What does the GM have to say? Okay. The GM says, first of all, Jason, regarding your incident a couple of weeks ago...
Let us never speak of this again.
Right. Okay. Done. Yes.
The GM says, you seem to have gone through things very quickly for such a heavy news week. You did skip over one essential thing for the international audience, the fact that Silver Vision will no longer be WWE's European distribution center.
Wow.
Meaning that you cannot get European region DVDs that are completely uncensored, including WWF material that did not have to be blurred because of the bloody lawsuit.
Fucking pandas.
Them too. And speaking of pay-per-views, you know you have one coming up on Sunday. Put your money together if you're going to at least watch Punk Brian. And of course, I know that you have Statboy handy to get the pick'ems going. So, gentlemen, let's take a break here, and we will be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. Williamswear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com, click the CLW 83 Wear button, and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Roll the tape on this.
Since we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
Well, I'm so glad I brought it up then.
As a great man once said, that marijuana make you lazy.
Yes.
When I was watching that segment, I was just thinking to myself, if I were Sheamus, if I were Daniel Bryan, I would have been seriously pissed off.
It comes down to 4 simple words. It's the economy, stupid.
What partnership?
I don't see no partnership.
The partnership I need to get laid?
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
When Jason Block says it.
And I'm going to predict this right now. The Peyton Manning signing is a bust. Peyton Manning is a lot more hurt that they are letting on, and I think he's going to be out for most of this season somehow. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Tiger Woods before he, you know, went out for knee surgery for a year. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's like, oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. No, I'm not.
Take it to the pay winder. The BS Big Show on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hi, this is Robert Q. Seidelman, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in. The sexiest man alive.
No.
No.
And we're back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I'm here with Carl Chenier, Jason Block, and Josh Henniger. Now, Mr. Chenier, I understand that you had a TNA encounter last week.
Yeah, sort of a preview, if you will, to Sacrifice last Sunday.
All right.
Gotta say, with the way, if you saw Sacrifice, you saw some of the matches. The only one that was disappointing to me, now, what really wanted to see was Angle versus Styles, but Styles couldn't make it for some reason to the two-date Louisiana tour. So they put Garrett Bischoff instead.
Oh, God. I feel sorry for you.
I'll make this real quick. Actually, the guy's very personable. He's probably the most personable person out there besides RVD.
which thank you for.
Yes, you're walking from Nate dropping you for like 2 seconds.
Hey!
But he remembered me.
Yes. That's all that matters. No, but RVD versus Rude to close that show out. It was not entitled, but it was pretty fun. And it was a privilege and an honor to see an RVD match live in person. For those following the show, if you want to see my entire detail, search AAWC on Facebook.
He's put up some very good pictures.
Yeah, and find my Facebook. I got some pictures up too.
Let's see. There was a WWE note that I had forgotten in the first part of the show. NXT seems to be remains its own independent brand, as it seems that the Raw and SmackDown brands have semi fallen apart with Clown Shoes in charge. NXT has been set up at the Full Sail School in Winter Park, Florida, and is under the auspices of one Dusty Rhodes.
He is the authority figure.
You got a bicycle.
He's the authority figure on NXT, as far as I know.
And I am still thoroughly amused at the fact that they're over at Full Sail, which is on the north side of Orlando, while TNA is over on the southwest side of Orlando at Universal Studios. Now, let's see. Where would they meet? They can't. There's no way they'd fill the Citrus Bowl for a cross fan pay per view.
Wow.
What? Wow. The Orlando Rage filled that place anyway.
That's true. Yeah,
that's true.
But NXT, in its own way, will be continuing, as we mentioned, as it was mentioned on last week's show. I can't say we because I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But
the same form, I don't think.
No, it's more like a how did Jim put it? Double A.
Like a double A minor league Fed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Groom the talent, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The in between portion.
Yeah, it's kind of a stopgap between FCW and actual WWE TV.
Yeah. And I think it's, from what I've seen online, I think it's only going to be airing in the Florida, Orlando area.
I've heard the first episode, this is actually directly from Triple H's mouth, from the show itself, is supposed to be airing in over 60 countries. So do not be surprised if this isn't just a mere it has more of a YouTube presence than just the mere YouTube uploads that happen days after the show airs.
Maybe so.
Expect it to be put on the WWE Fan Nation page. Much like Superstars, much like SmackDown, much like NXT currently is.
All right. I like the idea. I mean, it's nice to give them a way, give everybody a way to step up. We get them trained, we get them ready. We get the gimmick together. They get to test it out in front of a small group of fans. I don't know how well it's going to go over with the Full Sail guys.
I don't know either. Well, actually, I do. They kind of got bored by the third episode. They have filmed the first four episodes just about a day or two ago in Full Sail.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a boatload of new people, including pretty much, I would say, a third of the current FCW roster.
Mm-hmm.
And also, well, some WWE guys.
Just as, which is something that's used to assist in the transition.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, this might all tie, you know, Revolution might find its way to tie all this together.
Yeah, this is probably the Revolution they are talking about. Not Dean Ambrose getting called up to the main roster, not Seth Rollins getting called up to the main roster, but this, the Superstar Showdown / New NXT.
We'll see how this all pans out. Personally, yes. I would love it if it was Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose being called up, and so would Trista.
I think that Dean Ambrose is going to be called up before too much longer anyway. Seth Rollins is a question mark at this point.
Fair enough. And unfortunately, Cassius Ohno is still laid up with the clavicle.
No, he isn't. He's back. As you will see that with the, well, the spoilers. There's a lot of guys there. Cassius Ohno was just one of them.
Hmm. I will investigate this further.
Including who led the broadcast team.
Yes!
Bink, bink, bink.
Oh, how do I start singing the song? Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner.
Oh,
Boomer
really?
Sooner, Boomer Sooner.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Good old JR, Jim Ross, is the head of the three-man booth.
I celebrate this quickly.
It is.
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! It is good old J.R. Jim Ross, William Regal, and a cross between using Byron Saxton and Chris Russo. Those two are the main FCW announcers in this format. So it's a three-man booth.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Still celebrating.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's great. That gives that actually makes them, you know,
makes
that
sense.
Gives them credibility. That gives them a lot of credibility.
And of course, you got the moron fans on Twitter. This is a demotion.
No, it isn't. This is no demotion. This is more or less a.
This is what he would rather do.
Yeah, this is most definitely the Triple H branded, hey, this is what we want to do now with you guys. Congratulations, you're going to get a lot bigger scope.
And this could, and you're absolutely right, this could be Triple H also throwing JR a bit of a bone.
Yeah, because I know that JR's always wanted to, you know, help out the new generation before he called it a day. This is the perfect opportunity.
And the travel's not too bad. It was just going to Orlando every so often.
Yeah, once a month.
Once a month, there you go.
Yeah, I just worry that we're going to wind up hearing seagull pops by the end of this. This is going to get it produced to hell and back. Because, as I've said before, they got so bored by the third episode, they were starting to chant, "We want Sheamus." Yeah.
As long as they're not chanting for Brodus Clay or, God help us, Abraham Washington.
A-Dub? Yeah.
I think you might wind up seeing A-Dub at some point down there.
Right, but I like him better in this pseudo-managerial role than as a pseudo-talk show host.
Yeah.
With a certain you-know-who. Ha 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 ha.
I'm not playing that sound. So, I think we've covered all of our news.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah. There's a very few minor things one other that topic. I don't care about.
Yes, Carl.
And this also goes back to last week. A certain big star, who's now almost, 64, did a few no-shows.
And including your show, Mr. Chenier.
And the one in New Orleans, and of course it led to Sacrifice, and he didn't show up there either, or the tapings this past week.
Here's the thing. None of the big three showed up to Sacrifice. No Hogan, no Bischoff, no Carter, no Flair. That's why the show felt so weird.
And so good from... And so good from a lot of people.
The only problem that would have been up with the show is that there was no real storylines going on and ending. It was more or less a card of matches.
But now it's leading to ask you guys a question now. Is this Ric Flair's big F you to TNA? I want to go back to the WWE.
Bingo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And yeah, I believe so, especially since his daughter just got signed to developmental.
Ugh. Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Flair's daughter is in WWE developmental.
Ashley Flair is in WWE developmental. God help us all.
Ashley Flair recently signed a developmental. I've seen a picture of her. She needs a little work.
She needs a little work in the personality department too. Okay. Oh dear. How do I put this?
Is she the one with her and her boyfriend beat up Rick one time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be her.
Oh my goodness.
And I've also got firsthand accounts from one of my friends who went to Appalachian State that she's kind of a bitch.
Kind of?
And by kind of, I mean seriously a royal bitch. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. So this is gonna blow up in somebody's face, and not just Flair's.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Reed's too.
That was the problem with Reed. Reed apparently at least had some athletic ability. The problem is he had a big chip on his shoulder. He was almost as bad as Teddy Hart.
And a drug problem.
Oh dear.
So David Flair was kind of forced into it, and you know, he had his moments, but his heart wasn't in it, and he just did not have it to be in the business. So here's try number three for Rick to have a legacy in the wrestling business. After all, he's going to need somebody to help him pay his alimony down the line.
Just think if it would have been his other daughter, Megan.
I don't know enough.
She's a little bit more on the chubby side.
Hmm.
Or at least she was when they appeared on TV back in 2000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, it's just, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't have high hopes for this. Like I said, I saw a picture of her, and I just kind of shook my head. I was just like, no. I've seen prettier girls. Never mind.
Yeah, I got you.
We know where you're going.
Why in Trumpet Magazine, everybody?
But getting back to the actual thing, I think Ric Flair and WWE, do not be surprised if you see them together in 2012.
Yeah, yeah. So happy together indeed.
Yeah, about last year, sort of probably around the fall, I would think, when mm-hmm. all that stuff is done. Something like that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, as soon as he figures out a better, you know, some way to get himself fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing with us, yeah.
Big time.
And I could tell you firsthand, right around the third match when what I saw, we had gotten word that Flair no-showed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I could make a joke about him not wanting to get on the bus, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
When I went to TNA Base Brawl, which, by the way, is going to happen again on July 21st at MCU Park, and I will go to that because it is a lot of fun to do.
All right. Mm-hmm.
You know, last year we paid for, the meet and greet tickets. And when Flair did no show, he just signed his memorabilia inside, did not even cut a promo.
Yeah.
He at least did more than that when he was a guest at an IWC event in Pennsylvania that I attended. He at least came out and cut a promo, and he did sign. He was signing all sorts of memorabilia. That was my chance to recruit him. He signed my unscripted book, and I couldn't resist ribbing him by handing him a handful of pictures of old man ass.
Did he sign them?
No, he kept them.
Oh, jeez.
For all the frickin' times they've pulled his trunks down at every WWE house show I seem to go to that he was working.
Yes. Oh, speaking of books, did you know they released the cover for the WWE Encyclopedia Volume 2 this week?
Yes, they did.
That'll be another topic for next week, probably.
Yeah.
Who gets added, who gets deleted, hint, hint. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to I'm going to be nice. I'm going to keep my cool. I'm going to be...
Matt Hardy had actually one of the best things he actually said this week.
Okay.
About time, too.
Yeah, let me pull up the tweet here, because I think it's... it is actually said... He commented on that, actually. He said, I wasn't defending Benoit in any way. I was only commenting on the way WWE choose to write and record their history. It's not always by facts and actual events, but what's beneficial to them from a business aspect. And I get that. It's an image thing. WWE has to protect WWE, and no one else is going to, because he said earlier, I totally understand why WWE has adopted a non-Benoit policy. That's a business move to attempt to distance themselves from Chris's terrible final actions. My point is that I don't have to cater to and speak by WWE history as opposed to actual factual history. WWE can treat the Benoit situation as he never existed, but in reality, he absolutely did. Good for him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's right. That is about the most sane and sober thing he has said on the internet in years.
Yeah. Okay.
And he goes, and he continues. He's one person said, Benoit should be erased from WWE history. His last act on Earth was murdering a child and a woman. And he goes, I'm not disputing that at all. I agree. My point is that WWE has the power to write all of pro wrestling history, so it's always beneficial to them. My point is not Benoit. You're smart. You can understand what I'm talking about. So, yes, he's defending the non-censoring issue. So, you know what? That's some balls. And honestly, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him for actually doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's see. Speaking of employed and unemployed, it's time that we start looking into Pick'ems, Statboy.
Yes. And this time around, well, how do I put this? It's kind of thin in terms of matches, but points, well, the points are still pretty much the same from last time. 6 matches, 9 points possible. 2 for the tag, 2 for the fatal 4-way, and as always, our wild card. Yes, VRM, come on back.
Yeah, let VRM in.
Okay, found a replacement headset, and the wireless smell that I was smelling was the smell of the receiver from the headset.
Wow.
Luckily, it wasn't the interwebs.
Yes.
Okay, so again, you're concluding the pre-show, right, Josh?
Yes, I am. And in fact, that's the first match up for bids on The Price is Right. Wait, that's not the right show.
Jesus.
Right. And we finally see the feud finally come. Will we finally see this feud come to an end? Probably. This is the end. Zack Ryder, Kane, the U2 pre-show match. 1 point. Who wins?
Let's see. I think I'll start. Just to get everybody pumped up for the pay-per-view, I'm calling Ryder. Carl.
Oh, you know how I love to bury people, so it's Kane by default.
Jason?
Call's exactly right. You can't make yourself by yourself. You need us tour continues. Kane wins.
VRM?
As much as I would like to go with you on the getting everybody hyped for the pay-per-view, Nikki, I just can't see it. Kane wins.
Josh, are you against me too?
Strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, bring them all, because Ryder's gonna get buried. Kane wins handily.
I'm not changing my answer.
That's fine.
And now for the lowest and who gives a match on the card. Seriously, this entire division isn't traction until we find ourselves, a very scary black woman back. Layla L., champion. Beth Phoenix, challenger. The WWE Divas Championship on the line. 1 point. Who wins?
BRM, I think I'll start with you.
Tempting the lever. Beth.
Carl.
Just for reference there. Beth regains the belt.
And Jason?
I disagree. What I think is that they're going to continue to build up Layla as a credible champion. Layla L. wins.
Stat boy.
And once again, things are going to get decisive. It's just this time, I'm going on the current minority side. Layla wins.
And I think I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. I think they're going to have Layla retain just because she has just gotten back. They need to get her rebuilt. And besides, it'll be so much fun watching her bump for Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, did I get everybody?
Do I sense a wild card there?
No.
No.
No. That's not my wild card. I've got... somebody already knows about my wild card. So.
Yeah, right. Mine
might be similar to yours. We'll see.
Same deal.
Right.
And now to the first of the two-point matches. We have ourselves the WWE Tag Team Championships on the line as the Gangnam Connection, R-Truth, and Kofi Kingston face off against American Perfection, Jack Swagger, and Dolph Ziggler. 2 points. Who wins, and who winds up staring at the stars?
Carl, I'll start with you.
They've been, excuse my term, dicking around with this tag division for so long. It's getting boring. You know what? I am going to do it. Give me 1 point.
Whee!
Flush! Wow.
Oh, I feel so much better.
1 point to me.
Jason?
I will not go El Flusho here. Because I believe that the tag team that's actually going to regain the belt is Epico and Primo. Kofi pins Swagger.
Okay. So, Gangnam Connection wins.
Mm-hmm.
Swagger tastes freedom. And by freedom, I mean the mat.
BRM?
I'm sensing at No Way Out, we're going to end up having a triple threat tag team titles match inside the steel cage. Because I think that American Perfection wins with Ziggles pinning Kofi. But for my wild card, American Perfection wins the match. A-Dub and Epico and Primo win the segment.
Okay.
Oh, Epico Primo beatdown.
As surprising as that sounds, I'm throwing stuff at the wall and hoping it sticks.
No, you know what? That actually makes logical sense.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm gonna stay fairly conservative. I don't think they're gonna really pull the trigger on the tag team division just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
with what we're seeing in the Riverbend in the NXT Superstar Showdown. Yeah. Not the trigger yet, but the trigger's definitely getting primed.
Exactly. So I'm calling Kofi and Truth retain, and yeah, Swagger's going to be staring at the lights.
Yeah, this is one of those that's easy to more or less pick out. The Gangnam Connection takes the victory, and Swagger gets to stare at lights for a while.
Is that everybody?
That's everybody.
Okay, go on.
Now to the fatal four-way for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Your current champion, the Sheamus.
What?
Oh, go watch New Legacy, Inc. That shit's funny. Sheamus, your WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Chris Jericho, Alberto Del Rio, and Randy Orton. 2 points. Who wins and who winds up staring at lights?
Jason
or getting their arm broken?
Yeah, Jason, starting with you.
Wow. First of all, I actually think that this has been the best build of the title matches of the three for this pay-per-view, by the way. I think they've done a very, very good job of making all four relevant and all four a potential champion. I am going to go this way. Chris Jericho is going to pin Randy Orton in such a way to win the title so that Sheamus loses the belt without having being pinned.
Interesting. Stat boy.
Very much so. I do, while your answer does hold merit, I don't think they're gonna give the belt up from Sheamus just yet. Because it has been only two pay-per-views, just a shade under 2 months since Sheamus won the belt at WrestleMania. The less said about that, the better. I do not think that Sheamus is going to lose it at this point. I would say that he's probably going to wind up losing it at SummerSlam. Probably to somebody else. I can't think of who, though, at this point. So I have Sheamus winning with Del Rio seeing lights.
Okay. VRM?
Looking at this and looking at recent history, remember a couple of last year we had a whole 2 months of transitional champions. Granted, we're outside of the transitional phase at this point, but still, I'd like to see a little bit more revolving champions instead of 10 month super reigns. Granted, I don't want the Punk reign to end later on, but I'm going to go say that it's going to be, I'm going to say it's Sheamus over Del Rio, but it's going to happen in such a way that it's going to build for, it's going to keep building the Sheamus-Randy Orton feud, and that's going to explode at No Way Out.
Okay. Let's see. I think with the buggered up stuff that happened at Beat the Clock, that there's a reason this four-way was put together. I'm calling Jericho pins. Ooh. Yeah, I'll do that. Jericho pins Orton, leaving Sheamus conflustered, but probably looking for a rematch. Mm-hmm.
And now for the High Chief Muckamuck.
Yes,
I'm not
Carl.
Buying it.
What do you got?
Sheamus retains and pins Jericho. Jericho says bye-bye.
I would say not so fast. I would say by No Way Out, though, you're probably right.
So, that out of the way.
Yes.
Right. Now to the other and the last title match. The WWE Heavyweight Championship match is on the line as CM Punk, your champion, faces off against Daniel Bryan in an ROH dream match. In short, all the smarks are collectively shooting something, if you know what I mean.
Oh, jeez.
Basketballs, yes. Yeah.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah!
No, actually, go Thunder. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
You mean CM Punk dunking that dude through the hoop?
Actually, no. I'm sorry. Let me get the IWC's opinion real quick.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, the automatic winners of this match are the fans. Shall we go on to the next match?
Winner, 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 winner!
Chicken dinner!
If this were only the true main event.
Yes, but yes, yeah. It is a big win for the fan base.
All right, where's the guitar backing after that while they go and explain the puzzle?
That is the classic concentration win, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Wow. Who goes first?
Let's let Carl go first.
Okay. Oh, boy. I kind of mulled over this, and I'm going to use L wild card here instead of where we all thought we were.
Okay.
Oh.
But you'll see why in a minute. In a very high contested match, hopefully I'll get up to at least 5-star standards, according to the expert. Excuse me. Punk retains, but here's my wild card. It goes past the 45-minute mark.
Oh, Nelly!
If that happens, we're having an emergency broadcast.
Yes.
45 minutes?
In fact, I'm going to go out on the limb here and say auto winner. No.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I'll give you that. Carl, we will hand you the Fizzleweight Championship if they go over 45 minutes.
Hey, why not? Take a shot.
All right. So, I mean, plus 10 bonus.
Do that.
Gotcha. Honestly,
they have a potential to do that if they do it right.
Exactly.
So, and Brian, go beyond 45 minutes with a 10-point bonus attached. Carl gets it. Carl wins, no matter what we do.
Right, that's fair. That's absolutely.
Yep. So, with that in place, Stat Boy, are you intimidated?
I'm a little intimidated. God damn. Carl Schneer has big brass balls.
Sound by
boom, 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 boom. Son of a bitch. But I do agree with Carl. Punk will win. I don't think it's going to go beyond 45 minutes, but I think it's still going to be a very lengthy and very entertaining match that nerd Dave Meltzer will only give 4.5 stars because it's not in Japan and Baba wouldn't book it.
That's funny. Jason.
I it was funny. Up until a couple of days ago, I was actually thinking that Daniel Bryan was going to actually take the belt. But Punk is going to retain in this because he's the face of the WWE right now. And he's got the gold. He's the Punk Rock, James Bond look. At the USA up front, he's the man with the plan, and he's the guy.
He's not so. Brian Kendrick.
but again, it's going to be a freaking classic. Not worth $45 to pay one for one match, but wow.
This is Savage Steamboat 2.
VRM.
This is the start of your big summer feud. This match is the start of the summer feud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the A feud. Punk will win the match and retain. But this is going to go all the way through SummerSlam, where I am predicting an Iron Man match.
Oh.
You're gonna. Oh, ooh.
I'm actually.
You're killing me, Holmes.
No, I'm not gonna. No, keep talking like that because I'm not gonna play. Don't give them ideas.
No, we want them to have that idea at SummerSlam.
I know it's gonna be so awesome.
Yeah! Wow.
It had to be done. I'm sorry, guys.
All right.
Insert face into palm now. Okay. Ow, my face hurts. Okay.
All right. Nick, I'm sorry. Matt Wrestling. Anyway, now that I got that out of the way. Punk wins, probably by submission. That's not my wild card.
Anaconda Vice? Hmm.
Yes. They're going to have so much fun tying each other in knots.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to play a wild card and say we will hear a Ring of Honor chant, an ROH chant during the show, but I've got my wild card saved for something else.
Yeah. I think we all do at this point.
But yes, Punk retains. Mm-hmm.
And now to the main event for the John Cena Heavyweight Championship. Wait a minute. For whatever the hell it is, John Cena versus Johnny Ace. If Ace loses, he gone. And if any superstar or diva even dares to show up, they're gone too. Use those wordings very, very carefully.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Jason, Nikki, me, I think we all know what we're going to be saying here in about 5 seconds.
Not necessarily.
I have mine anyway.
So I think I'm going to start. Johnny Ace is going to win. Because they've got too good of a character in Mr. Clown Shoes. Wild card is played.
Funk.
Big Show, mm-hmm. who is not an employee,
mm-hmm.
will interfere in the match and kill Cena,
yeah.
becoming Big Johnny's reluctant muscle.
Doesn't he? Man, he has too much muscle.
But do you see? But this.
See where you're going. Because that's exactly the same route I'm taking. Perfectly down the pipe.
Jason, is that your wild card, sir?
No, it is not. The excuse me, you have the right scenario, but you have the wrong guy.
Nikki, prepare your voice.
Guy who is going to interfere, and I'm playing my wild card, Thunk, is going to be, say it, Brock Lesnar. Because he is going to destroy John Cena. Because he's pissed off that he got his ass kicked, and he's just going to he's the ass kicker. Now, I have a question. I need a ruling. If both Big Show and Brock Lesnar interfere, do we both get points?
Yes, we do.
Because both of our wild cards played.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to make sure of that. Okay.
It would be kind of fun, though, if Big Show shows up, kills Laurinaitis. What does he care? He doesn't have a job. Lesnar shows up, kills Cena.
Right, yeah.
And the pay-per-view ends in a no contest. Somewhere Russo is laughing.
You mean don't give him ideas!
On June 1st, they'll wind up seeing his face all giddy at that You Shoot Live thing that he's having.
And I reiterate, don't give them ideas! Anyway. let's see. Who have I missed here? VRM? Have you put your cards on the table yet?
Well, I've already put my wild card on the table, but I haven't put my card on the table for this match. It's got to be Johnny Ace. Did you put the stipulation that the heel authority figure is going to get fired? usually that's a big giant word. What's the word I'm looking for? It begins with an S, and we usually tie it to Cena. All right, spoiler.
Yeah. Big time.
And now the High Chief Muckamuck. Let's take this home.
What do you got, boss? Nothing.
Sir, are
Yo,
you out there?
I'm here.
I was going to make a joke, but I don't feel like getting thrown off my own show.
Okay. Now, oh boy. You know the obvious answer is here. Johnny Ace. This is Lord Ayes. Because I can't do the voice right. I don't care.
If we only had Jimbo here.
Yeah. Johnny Ace will win. But you know what? I'm going to say both Big Show and Lesnar at the same time are going to interfere. And then Lesnar will kill Big Show after. And Big Show is still fired.
Hmm.
What, are you trying to rekindle the 0203 feud?
Yeah, why not?
Don't remind me of that feud. What? Big Show winning the title after jobbing up and down the card for 6 freaking months shows up on SmackDown and beats Brock Lesnar? Who's booking this crap?
Your uncle. Oh, at the, your uncle at the time.
Ouch.
No, but Lesnar will F5 Big Show.
Oh, really?
Oh,
bad.
Or try to, at least.
I want to see that again so bad.
And Big Show is still fired. That's what I'm thinking.
It is, and we are well beyond the 7-year rule at this point. We're at the 10-year rule at this point.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, it sounds like a lot of people here are not going to spend their money on this pay-per-view.
No way.
No,
I will actually be able to see the pay-per-view, or I could see the pay-per-view for the very first time since September last year.
Okay.
But I'm not going to. I, of course, will follow the board on the fan on the fan boards, freakingawesomenetwork.com. I'm a mod.
Aha. Okay. So it sounds like I'm the only one who will probably be putting real money down for this because I actually have the evening off to watch it.
About damn time. You've been on the road for 13 days.
13 mm-hmm. days on the road is just too damn much. I'm not going anywhere tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But at least I've got everything sorted out. Uncle Paul knows where I stand. I know where he stands on this. And any monies that do come back from either of the lawsuits, I probably won't be allowed to disclose the amount.
Mm-hmm. Just make sure you get it in a cashier's check from WWE. That's all I'm saying.
I know better. Because I know my dear Uncle Paul will try to hand me a check. And I'll say, we're still family. But I think we've done enough damage for one night, and I think the Chief High Muckamuck is wondering why we're still talking.
Yes.
So, gentlemen, I think we better hang it up for now. And, I'm tired.
All right. Any shills before we go?
Actually, let's look into this. Jason, do you have anything to plug?
Yes, I actually do. The reason why I was away last week was I was involved with raising, and we have a total now, $4,762 for the expansion of the Independence Park, totally accessible park. We raised a bunch of money, and we had a blast doing it. We had a bunch of young, up-and-coming rock and roll bands, and we had some kids who were as young as 9 and as old as 16, just shredding the hell out of music, and we had a blast. It was so much fun. So congratulations to everyone involved. All the CLW83 network shows, I'll shill at another place. This is the one I wanted to plug today. So really happy about that.
Fair enough. Stat boy.
Of course, might just plug the freaking awesome network. Also, coming up here, not this week, or not this coming week, but the week after, Tales of the Old Grand Purple Box will be back in rotation, finally. And we will be covering NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
He's on fire!
Boom shakalaka!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my all-time favorite games.
There you go, VRM.
Yes, next week on the Sports Digest, we finally finish up our Club Europe coverage with the UEFA Champions League final.
Tomorrow morning, live, right?
Yeah, 2:45 Eastern tomorrow, or today if you're listening to it on Saturday. Also, we have Preakness, probably some more coverage on the NBA playoffs, and if the Lakers and Heat lose some more Fluttershy laughter. And the Kings advancing to the Stanley Cup after they beat the Coyotes in Staples Center on Sunday afternoon, or is it evening?
Don't know.
What?
Ow.
Because that's gonna happen if you've been following that series.
Hmm. And finally, Mr. Chenier.
Hey, for once, I do have something to plug.
All right.
Upcoming Wednesday, we'll record it. The BS Big Show. Myself, Jim Williams, Jason, more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a debut of a guy who's been joining us for our baseball podcast, Touch 'Em All. With a guy by the name of DC Lundberg. Get his thoughts on this whole mess down here. And, of course, we're going to talk about Drew Brees' situation and why my management sucks, you know what.
Yes,
I'm going to have a lot to say on that.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that DC doesn't like, you know, the words that we say on here a lot. So it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be toned down just a tad bit. Yeah. See, it's called appeasing your new people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, but in all seriousness, no, we're going to also talk about other happenings. Eagles beefing up on some players. Missing out on a player to the Jets, by the way, today.
Okay.
More OTAs, blah, 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 blah. There you go.
Yep.
Wednesday recording will be up Thursday upcoming.
And I don't have anything to plug because we're in the middle of what I would plug. Or actually, we're on the very tail end of it. So, for High Muckamuck Carl Chenier, Mr. Jason Block, Mr. VRM, and of course, Statboy Josh Henniger, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Have a good day. Enjoy the wrestling.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.